Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Praise God. Say hello to somebody and you may please be seated. Amen. So I got that out of the way. We've got to keep repeating it because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So last month, we talked about word power. Word power. The power of words. But sometimes during the week, just earlier in the week, the Holy Spirit began to tell me that the work for last month is not done. That before we move on to the theme of this month, there's something that we need to get out of the way. Something we need to deal with. And that's what I want to deal with first today. And then for the rest of the month, we'll begin to talk about the gospel power. Amen. And this is basically it. The Spirit of God spoke to me that a lot of people are still working under the bondage of past negative words that they have spoken or that have been spoken over them. Amen. And that there's a need to break that. Praise God. In other words, to find freedom, we need to do something about that. And he gave me instruction of exactly what we're supposed to do. We began it at the Anchor meeting on Tuesday. And we are going to be doing it here as a church. But first of all, let me show you some scriptures to let you know how serious this is. Now, first thing I want to tell you is that words don't die. They are spirits. And spirits don't die. John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. Words are spirits. They don't die. John 6, 63. 6, 63. It says, "For it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and what? And their life." I love what the Message translation says. It says, the words are spirit words. And they are life making. They are what? Spirit words. And they are life making. He said, every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word. And so, it is life making. So two characteristics of words there. The first one is that they are spirits. And whenever you talk about spirit, spirits don't die. Amen? Spirits don't die. They have it. They stay. And then it says they are life-making. So they are not passive. So they are spirits, meaning that they always stay there. But they also continue to make life. Amen? They begin to create the atmosphere around you. They continue to do that because they are always alive. Now, just imagine. Let me paint a picture to you so that you will understand. Can I have, four people come? Four people come. I just want to show something. It's going to be about a minute or so. Just come quickly. So, you will be the one who speaks the word. Amen. Thank you. You will be some of the positive words that he's spoken, and you'll be some of the negative words that is spoken. Amen. All right. And then, please come. You will be one of the words that other people have spoken over him. So stand behind them. Now, no, not behind him. Can you just surround him? Wow, this guy is blessed today. He has three ladies surrounding him. That is any of them married? Oh, they are all almost fully married. Okay. It's only pizza. It's free. Okay. All right. Please, can you surround him, please? Surround him. So, listen. Every word that you've spoken over you, positive, negative, surrounds you. And they are living things. That's what I'm trying to show you. Someone say they are living things. And they are not going anywhere. Are you listening? They know what? They are living. They are living. The moment they come out, they stay there in the spirit world and they are active. Try to move. Just move. Follow him as he moves. Move in any direction. Just follow him. You see? These people are so good. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you all. Put your hands together for them. Everywhere you go, they follow you. Are you listening? Somebody says, I'm just going to get a visa or whatever. I'm just going to go to another country. They will also get visas. And what? They will follow you there. There's no distance or time in the spirit realm. That's why Proverbs chapter 6, verse, starting from verse 1, talks about the power of word. Take it away from message. Whenever I need message, I'll let you know. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 says, my son, if you become shorty to your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Amen. The word snare there, if you look at another translation, you are trapped. I'm going to say trapped. You are trapped. That's what some translations say. A snare is like a trap. You know. So you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth. So words are traps. Now there's nothing wrong in being trapped in the blessing. Amen. Are you listening? So a trap is not negative, it's necessarily negative. How many of you would like to be trapped in the White House for 3 days? You know what I'm talking about? Or trapped in a nice place. So a trap is not necessarily negative. Do you understand? It depends on where you are trapped in. Amen? I mean, just trap me in the Caribbean with my wife. Give me food. All expenses paid for 1 year. I will gladly. I'll be cool. Amen? Hallelujah. So, it depends on what you are trapped in. But if you are trapped in misery, oh man, it's terrible. If you are in prison in misery, and this is my submission to you today, everything you have been saying has been trapping you. Everything that you have been saying has been what? Trapping you. You are actually living inside the trap of the words that you have spoken over time. Amen. I mean, you are living inside the trap of words that you have spoken over time. The Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about, let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 12, quickly. Matthew chapter 12. Hallelujah. Matthew 2. Is somebody following me? You see that it's not a joke. It's a serious matter, right? All right. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look at. Verse, one second. Matthew 12. let's start from verse 31. Let's start from verse 33. Yes, 33. From verse 33. It says, either make the tree good. Everyone say the tree. So the fruit is dependent on the tree. And its fruit good. Or else, make the tree bad. And its fruit bad. In other words, you can't have good fruit when the tree is bad. In other words, when what is producing is bad, you can't expect the product to be good, right? Do you get it? So he's saying change, if you want to change the product, change the production, right? Center or change the producer, the source. Change the producer. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. So our lives can be recognized by, what is going on, what is producing, what is undergirding our lives can be recognized by what surrounds us. Did you get that? So that if I look at what surrounds you, I can know what is happening in you. Did you get that? Are you getting me? Okay. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Verse 34. It says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the second thing he's telling us is now beginning back that when I was talking about the production center of your life, I'm talking about your heart. Amen. And what is producing is your mouth. And he says, I can understand what is going on in you by seeing what is in your life. Right? And I can tell you that the words that you are speaking is based on what you have put in your heart. Oh man. Somebody, are you getting it? Verse 35. The good man. Now, when he talks about good here, he's not talking about good in terms of whether the person is born again or not born again. No. That's not what he's saying. It's good in terms of what the quality of what the person has inside. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up inside of him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up. There's an interesting thing about this word, brings. The word brings there in the Greek is not as, you know, quiet and not powerful as you see there. The word is actually very forceful. It's like, phew. That's why some translation says flings, yes. The good man from his inner good treasure flings. So there's a forcefulness about it. It flings forth good things. And the evil man out of the inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. Amen. So every day you are flinging things out. Are you listening? You are throwing it out into the atmosphere of your life. You're flinging it out. You're flinging it out. Amen. What's the next verse? You're flinging it out. Amen. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every clearless words that they have spoken. So the only reason why you will be able to give account of the careless words is because the results and even those careless words are still present. In other words, when you stand before God on that day, now the day of judgment, there's the day of judgment, capital J. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the big day of judgment. But there are days of judgment. What he's even talking about here now, there are days of judgment that takes place on the earth. Are you listening? On the day of judgment, the day of judgment is when the words you have been speaking over time gets to overflow and it's time for them to manifest. Do you get what I'm saying? That day, you have to account for it. Because the words themselves will come, because you know they are alive and they will begin to speak. And then they create their realities. Every careless words. You see, when you understand this, and these are not just the words that you speak out, the words you write, amen. Are you listening? The words you write, the words you sing. When you understand this, you will be a little bit more quiet on Facebook. And Twitter. And you will choose the songs you sing. You choose the song you sing. You choose the word you say. You watch yourself when you are angry, how you speak to people. There are some people, you know, sometimes you see things on TV about a child that came and then shot the mom or shot whatever. And people are saying, wow, the mom did everything and all that. And did that. Yeah, people can judge from the outside. Amen. And I'm not saying that in all cases it's like that. But in a lot of cases, the parents sowed the seed by the words that they spoke. And the day of judgment came. And they had to give account for it. Because when you start telling a child from when the child is young, you're telling them, you are not going to amount to anything. You know, you are just a butthead. Or you are just this and this and that. And sometimes you don't even say it as that way. You know, you say it in some, you know, can't you ever make the right decision? You know what that means? Can't you ever I've told, you know, I tell my kids, and it's part of the discussion we're having in our house. I said, every time you come out and you are talking and you talk with a question, most of the time it is wrong. Now, questions are supposed to be asked. But anytime you, don't you think I can do it? What are you even thinking about? Every time you communicate, even with your spouse, every time you communicate with a question, it's the beginning of rudeness. You're about to speak something negative. You get what I'm saying? Questions are supposed to be, oh, please, could you tell me this? We're talking. Can't you see that I've been working all the while? Just say, can't you see? You're just saying he's blind or she's blind. Okay. Don't you understand anything at all? Don't you? Is your head even okay? I'm not saying it's not okay, but is it okay? So I said, I tell my wife, I said, look, so the question, so I've got to learn to speak less with questions. Let us speak. To ask a question. Asking questions is that, is everything fine? Is everything even fine with you? Are you getting what I'm saying? You are releasing things into the atmosphere. And sometimes, you know, you quote it, it looks like it's nice, but it is not nice. Amen. So this is serious. This is serious. This is a serious matter. We got to watch the words of our mouth because there are consequences to every word. And some of us are reaping the consequences. All of us. I don't want to say some of us. We have dominion, right? That's what we learned last week. All of us. Someone say all of us are reaping the consequences of our mouth, whether for good or for evil. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. All of us. Death and life. Everybody say death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, the word power there is the same word that is translated hand. Everybody say hand. So it's the hand of the Lord. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Do you get it? And those who love it will hit his foot. Who love what? Now, love KJV. Please put it in another translation to me so that people can understand. Who indulge or people who... Verse 21. Take it to another translation that does not use those who love. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. 18:21. NLT. Try NLT. Those who love to talk will reap what? Its consequences. They will what? Reap the consequences. So, death and life. The tongue can bring death or life. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap what? The consequences. So, if you love to talk a lot, you know, it's either you are speaking life or death. Right? So, you are going to reap the consequences. But if you are talking life, right? Then talk a lot. Do you get it? But if you are talking death, you're going to reap the consequences. Everybody say after me, say there are consequences for every word. Don't forget our little drama, right? Because words don't die. Someone say words don't die. They don't die. There are consequences. There are consequences. Amen. So we've been taught so much. The devil has done everything to teach us to speak negatively, that we're so used to it right now that we don't understand that we are creating things. And so we just do it. In fact, it's so much fun, you know, to do it. Amen. So much fun. You go around the city and, you know, and all that. You see people cursing. In fact, I was so surprised, you know, that the people that even curse the most now, they are the professionals. How many of you at work, your bosses, it's part of being cool. You know? Because it's just part of being cool. They are the ones that curse the most now. It's not, you know, before, cursing used to be ghetto. You know, it's no longer ghetto. Cursing is now mainstream. If you don't have F-U-K or H-E-L-L in what you say, you are no longer cool. I'm telling you.
How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Those of you that drive the cab and Uber and all, you see how they curse, right?
How many of you know what I'm talking about? You see how?
It's just, and they're even blessing you with a curse. You are just too F-U-K good. You know, you are just too. You are just D-A-A-M-N good.
Amen.
And then God damn this. God doesn't damn. Everybody say God doesn't damn. Every time you say God damn, you use the name of God in vain. Because it's not the damner, it's the blesser. God doesn't damn, you know. And now we have different ways of saying it also nicely, you know, so that we don't say, amen. You guys need to know the consequences. Psalm 109, let me show you something. You know, maybe it will open somebody's eye. Psalm 109 verse 17. Psalm 109 verse 17 says, Psalm 109 verse 17 quickly. He says, he loved, talking about this man, he said, he loved cursing. That sounds like somebody you know, right? He said, he loved cursing. Oh, he loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. No, go back to where he says he loved cursing. Now, we'll read that one later. What I had. He said, he loved, what? He loved cursing, and it came back on him. He delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. He clothed himself with what? Cursing, as with what? His garment. And it seeped into his inward life like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him as the raiment with which he covers himself, and as the girdle with which he is girded continually. You see, when you speak words, curses, as you are speaking it, because words are spirit. Someone say they are spirit. What it's telling is that it goes into your bone, it goes into your bloodstream, it goes into your innermost being. And before you know, you are wearing it. You carry it everywhere. And before your kids will pick it up. You carry it everywhere. But if you speak the blessing also, the blessing follows you. The blessing follows you. Somebody says, but Pastor, what do you mean by a curse? A curse, what is the definition of a curse? What's the definition of a curse? Who knows? Anybody try? What's the definition of a curse? And I'll show you the biblical definition of it. Well, you know, that is, you guys are too spiritual. Just give me, just English. What's a curse? A what? A spell? No, that's another big word. What is the definition? I didn't say what is the synonym. A negative word. Someone says a negative pronouncement. Put your hands together for Tommy. She's very smart. You are all smart, amen. But some are smarter than others. It's like all men are created equal, but some are what? More equal than others. Animal farm. Okay, so look at it. Jesus did something in the book of Mark chapter 11 quickly. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. Is somebody following me today? So Mark 11, Jesus, verse 12, he said, and as they left Bethany, Mark 11, verse 12, as they left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf. So when there are leaves on a fig tree, in that part of the world, it usually has fruit. But this fig tree was just different. It had leaves, but no fruit. So the leaf, oh, there must be food here. So he went to find out if he had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. Because it was not the season for figs. So why are you deceiving? Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. So now that's a statement. I'm going to say a statement. And his disciples heard him say it. Verse 5, 15.
15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area, began driving. Can you jump forward? You know, I don't want to go through all that. He drove all those people out. And then in verse 20. In the morning, everybody say morning. As they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Now, did Jesus touch the fig tree? Did he use cutlass or whatever? Or chainsaw? What did he do? He spoke words. And a tree that had leaves withered the next day. A tree that had leaves on it withered the next day. Withered from its roots. Verse 11 or 21. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, teacher. He's trying to teach us something. Look, the fig tree you cursed. Everybody say cursed. As what? So according to this verse, curse is equal to no man eat food from you again. A curse is just a negative statement. I don't have to say, okay, now I shall curse. Oh, you shall. Mm-mm. Every negative statement is what? And every positive statement is what? A blessing. No man eat fruit of you again. Sometimes you're speaking to just inanimate things around your life. Ah, why is it always like this in this house? How come there is no peace in this house? The only thing that the house here is no peace. Do you get it? So no peace is created. Don't you have any respect? That's the man talking to his wife. You are very disrespectful. You don't know? Very full of what? Disrespect. And then disrespect becomes fuller. Why can't we ever make ends meet in this house? First of all, who called you to make ends meet? Now you can begin to see the conversations you have in your house. Even the ones that you are saying and you are laughing, amen? It's negative statements that have been released. And things are withering. Someone say things are withering. They're withering. Now for Jesus Christ, it took one day, overnight for it to happen because he was developing it. Amen? But for a lot of us, because our faith is not as strong, there are some areas of it that our faith is very strong. It happens very fast. There are some that you are still building up the faith, negative faith. And so it takes some time. But it's withering. Remember, those words live. Those words are alive. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. So in verse 21. So Jesus, who is a teacher, was saying, I did that not because, you know, I just wanted to curse the fig tree or because I was angry. No, I wanted to use it to teach you a lesson. And then it says in verse 22, have faith. What? In God. That is the wrong translation. The word in there, that preposition, is a very wrong translation. I remember when we were studying the Greek, we discovered that those, what do you call it? Is it preposition? What do you call it? We discovered that when you are looking at the Greek, this is what is called, it was in the genitive case. It was a genitive case. The genitive case is what you have in the English when you say, my or mine. Do you get it? Possessive case, you understand? So the Greek has several cases like that. Possessive. So when you speak in English and you say, my something, you are speaking the possessive case, right? So that's in the genitive case. So the correct translation is of. Everybody say of. Somebody was like, how can you say have the God faith? Do you get it? Or have God's faith. It was in the case, you know, that, then it, have God's faith. That's what it says in the Greek. Have God's what?
faith, God's faith, like possessive, my stuff. Have God's faith. Have God's what? Embrace, look at this one. Embrace this God life. That's what the, what do you call it? Some other translation you will see, check all that. They will tell you, they will put it there that really it's the faith of God. Everybody say the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have God's faith. Everybody say have God's faith. Or have the God kind of what? Of faith. Have the God kind of faith. Embrace the God kind of what? Of faith. Embrace God's faith. Use God's faith. What is God's kind of faith? God's kind of faith is the kind of faith that speaks, and what happens? What he says happens. So Jesus explains that what it means to have the God kind of faith in verse 23. For take it back. For whosoever, everybody say whosoever. If I know the message translation is actually fine. I like the Dilly Darling thing. Please, verse 23 of message translation. It says, I tell you the truth. No. Beginning. Verse 23. Start from the beginning. Oh, yes. Is that it? That's not the beginning. Okay, all right. Nothing will be too much for you. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, okay. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen will be done for him. Take it to the message. So he's describing the faith of God here, how the faith of God works. He said, nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying. And it is what? It's as good as what? It's as good as done. It's as good as done. So Jesus was trying to illustrate to us how the God kind of faith works, which is what we have. Like I told you last week, we have dominion. Amen? Because we are created in the image of God. So the God kind of faith is the faith that believes in his heart and says what it believes. You are operating by that faith naturally. Amen? But many times we use it negatively because we believe the negative things. Whatever, everybody look at me, say after me, say whatever I believe and I say out, I just created using the God kind of faith. So we've been doing all this over every aspect of our lives. But it's time to change. Someone say it's time to change. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. He who will love life. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Because it gives us the prescription of having a good life. A peaceful life. 1 Peter 3:10. He said, whosoever would love life. How many of you would love to love your life? You know, there's some people that don't like their life. But some say, I love the life I live. But some say, I don't like my life. Whoever would love life and see good days. Someone say good days. So there's long life, but there's good days in the long life. Who wants to see a future where you are enjoying with your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Not that they are bringing all these reports and all that. You are enjoying with your... This is how to have the good life. He must keep his tongue. Everybody say, keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Let's see what the message says. From deceitful speech. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with goods, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. You see, if you abide by this word, sometimes you will even see something negative about someone or about something, but you will deliberately say something positive while everybody is talking about the negative. You will say the positive. That's what you say. Because you know, I think you talked about a man, that this man lived so long that even in his old age, he said none of his teeth, nothing fell off. This guy was so strong, still walking around. So they went to meet him and said, what was the secret? And people knew him in town. He said, I saw this scripture and I began to watch what I said.
So there was one guy who was in town. The guy had some kind of mental problem. He used to be a veteran, you know, at war, and then had some mental problems. So he went and he shot some people. So everybody was criticizing the man in town. So when they got to this man, the man just said, wow. But, you know, I just noticed something, that this guy had good hair. You know, that he had... the only thing he could see there was... not that he couldn't see the negative, right? But the only thing he made a commentary on was the positive. Watch your commentary. Do you get it? If you even have to comment at all. Amen. If you even have to comment at all. The Bible says, he that keeps his lips. Hallelujah. He that keeps his mouth. Proverbs 21 verse 23. Keeps his soul from what? From trouble. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. He who keeps his mouth, or he who guards his mouth and his tongue, keeps himself from what? Calamity. The message says, you save yourself from a lot of grief. If you just watch your mouth, you save yourself from what? A lot of what? Grief. So sometimes you save yourself a lot of grief. We say too much. We talk too much. Sometimes our commentaries are not needed. Hallelujah. Stay in the message. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let nothing foul or dirty. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul. Everybody says foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Let nothing foul or dirty. Because when you let foul or dirty things from what we have learned, you make everything around you foul and what? And dirty. The word says, let no corrupt communication. A translation says, let no corrupting communication. Find it for me. I think it's NIV. Let no corrupting communication come out of your mouth. So it's not just corrupt, it's corrupting. See, let no corrupting. You know, before I used to see it only as corrupt, right? But it's corrupting. It's corrupting. You know what corrupting is? It's rusting the things in your life. It's corrupting the atmosphere of life. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. But only what is good for building up. So you can either build up or to corrupt as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hallelujah. Let me give you one more, and then we're gonna pray. We're gonna do something now. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. It says, watch your words. No. Proverbs 4, 24. That's not Proverbs 4, 24. Proverbs 24. It said, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Amen. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. And you know, that's one of those ones that I don't like message. Please give me my authorized version. I will say, put away perversity. I will say perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Put away perversity. Perverse, negative talk. Let's keep corrupt talk out of your lips. Keep it out of your lips. Amen. I believe that with this few points of mine, I've been able to convince you, and not to confuse you, that there is power in your tongue, and you are creating every day. You are determining. In fact, please give me James chapter 3 quickly. James 3 verse 1. Got to read that. James chapter 3 and verse 1. You are the message will be good for that. James chapter 3 from verse 1. 3 from verse 1. Are we there? He said, don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to what? Stricter standards. Okay. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. But if you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true,
you will have a perfect person in perfect control of his life. Next verse, perfect control of his life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain set a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything. Someone say it can accomplish nearly anything. Or destroy nearly anything. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world. And before you can start ruining the world, you first start ruining your own world, right? Turn harmony into chaos. Throw mud on a reputation. Send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right out of the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild like a wanton killer. With our tongue, we bless God our Father. With the same tongue, we curse the very men and women He made in His image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friend, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? And trees don't bear strawberries today. Apple trees don't bear strawberries today. Raspberry bushes don't bear apples today. You are not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water, are you? A good tree out of a good treasure. That's what he's saying. Amen. Hallelujah. So, it's hard to tame the tongue, but the great thing is that the Holy Spirit said, no man can tame. I'm saying no man can tame, but God can help you tame it. That's why the psalmist says, let the words of what? My mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in your sight, O Lord. That's why he said, Lord, set a guard to my lips. Set a guard to my lips. Keep a watch over my mouth. Hallelujah. Psalm 19, verse 4. Verse 14, yeah. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, over my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 35, verse 38. 35, verse 38. The prayer of the psalmist. Psalm 35, and verse 38. He said, my tongue will speak of what? Of your righteousness and of your praises all day long. So, quickly, let me round up by saying this. The tongue cannot be tamed by a human being, but the Holy Spirit can help us tame our tongues, right? So we're going to deal with something based on the instruction of God, the negative words that we have allowed. Well, the only thing you can do with negative words is you can disarm them. Do you get it? You can't kill them. But you can disarm them. Do you get what I'm saying? So we're going to get David to come again with his entourage of ladies. Okay. Amen. All right. So you cannot kill them. Because they are spirits and they are life. But what you can do is what? You can what? Disarm them. Can I have one big guy? Mike, please come. Yes, Mike is. So he just comes. Just stand there and disarm all of them. Amen. You had a good word. Okay, so you stay. Do you get that? That's what you can do with words. You know, you pronounce a higher word. Someone say a higher word. Someone say a higher word. Because words is about authority, right? And so it's very simple now. If the Secretary of Education releases a word, right, to the nation and says this is what's going to happen, and then President Barack Obama gives an executive order, which one is going to stand? Now, you didn't kill the words of what the Secretary of Education is still there. It's still there, right? But there's what? There's a higher word that now takes effect. So that's how words work. You don't kill those words, but there's a higher word, right, that takes effect over your life. So what we want to do is we want to get a higher word to take effect. And from then on, watch our mouth. Take
bridle our tongue through the word of God and the Holy Spirit so that we can create traps for ourselves that are Caribbean-like. Amen. Vacation, you know, nice, peaceful, beautiful. Amen. Trap yourself and your children, your wife in the right place. Amen. And then trap your city, as we're going to be learning later in the month, through the power of the gospel. Trap your, right? Because by the mouth of the wicked it is overthrown, but by the blessing of the righteous, the city is exalted. Do you guys get it? So this is one more. I need the ushers to go to go around and give everybody a copy of the Word Power document. Everybody, a copy of this Word Power document. No, don't go. Thank you. You're my great illustrations. I'll tell you when it's time to go. Thank you. Because you're going to give everybody a copy of it. Now, we specifically created this to give to every member of City Light to use, to tame their tongue, and to begin to change the atmosphere of their lives. Sometimes people say, I don't know what to say. This contains the higher word concerning every major areas of your life. From your soul, from your spirit to your community. And there's the front page and there's the back page. Every month we want to leave the legacy. The prayer, the 365 days of prayer was the legacy of January. And then, you know, we had February, people power. So this is the legacy of March, of April, word power. That becomes a permanent part of our lives. See, what you need to do with this thing is this. With this understanding that I just gave you, if you want to change your life, amen? If you want to change your life, the beginning is to change your words. Do you get it? To change the direction you are driving your life. All you need to do is to take this, speak these words at least once daily. If you can do it twice, the faster it works. But do it at least once every day. Just wake up, pick it up, and begin to speak it over your spirit, soul, and body. It's all scriptures. It's all the higher word. This is Mike, Angel Michael, you know, over all of them. Do you get it? Speak it. That's the beginning of taming your tongue. Amen. It will begin to change your inside, and then it will begin to change your life. It's powerful. You begin to exercise dominion. Is that clear, everybody? So it has authority. And we're going to be taking communion right now, specifically based on Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. God said, do this. We did it in Angkor on behalf of everybody. But we're going to do it in church. It's our communion Sunday. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11. God, this is a promise. This is a promise that we're believing God for, especially for the words that are working. Can we have the negative words on this side? Okay, thank you. So, what we want to do is that we want to exercise judgment over them through the blood. Now, look at Zechariah. He said, and because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free you, prisoners, from the waterless pit. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say freedom. Say, I will free you. So, there's a cloud that has been created, right? There's something that is working. He said, I will free you from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress. What is our fortress? What's our fortress? Word. Right? God is our... God will return to your fortress. It's a covenant word is our fortress. You prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will restore double to you for whatever you have lost through all those negative pronouncements. Amen. But through the blood of my covenant, I'm setting the prisoners free. Do you get what we're trying to do? So we're going to take the communion. Amen. And I'm going to make some pronouncements. And then we're going to all take this confession together to start. Isaiah chapter 6. Quickly. Isaiah 6. God cleansed the lips of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. He cleansed his lips. He saw a vision. And then he saw that he had unclean lips. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2. Quickly run with me because of time. Run with me. And above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2 feet, they covered their feet. And then verse 3. When he saw it, he said, and they were calling one another, holy, holy, holy is Almighty, full of glory. Verse 4.
The sound of their voices, the doorpost, threshold, filled, temple was filled with smoke. Then he cried, woe to me, for I am ruined. See, this guy was really ruined. Amen. He had been speaking woe, 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 woe to everybody. And he says, woe to me, for I am a man of what? Unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Have you been there before? Some of you walk among a people of unclean lips. It's curses and everywhere. And you know, it's like smokers. You know, when they smoke, the smoke comes on you. Environmental smoking. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So he saw something different. And then look at what God did to him. Verse 6. It says, the one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand that he had taken with tongs from the altar. Verse 7. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. So his whole life was changed because God changed his mouth. And the same as I was on as comfort, comfort ye my people. You know, we kind of speak. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he said, here am I, send me. Who will go for us? He said, here am I, send me. The guy was ready because something happened to his speech. Something happened to his mouth. God cleansed his mouth. That's our salvation through our mouth. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ, right, you will be saved. The mouth is very powerful. So why don't you rise up on your feet and believe God? Because this is going to happen as you join your faith with us. Join your faith with us today. How many of you want to start afresh on a clean slate regarding the words that have been spoken over you and the words you've spoken? Let me see. Wave your hand if you want to start afresh. Say it out of your mouth. Say, I want. Remember, there's power on the tongue. So, you know, so one of the things you have to do right now is that you have to not just eat with your mouth. Amen. Your mouth is a gift. Jesus said, I will give you a mouth. Please get it for me. I will give you a mouth, a gift, a mouth and a wisdom that your enemies cannot stand against. Your mouth is a gift. It's not just for eating. Amen. It's for changing the complexion of your life. It's for taking your mouth will take you on a journey that you only imagined, that you only dreamed of. Anywhere you want to go, keep it in your mouth. You will get there. Are you listening to me? And I'm not just talking about locations, physical locations. I'm talking about places of wealth, places of life. Keep it in your mouth. Your vision, if you keep it in your mouth, it will get there. Hallelujah. I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. KJV says, I'll give you a mouth. So the mouth talking about what? I'll give you a mouth and a wisdom. A mouth. So your mouth is a gift from God to you that the enemy cannot stand against. It's time to use it. Amen. It's time to use it. Where are you going? Why don't you steer your life in that direction? So we want to disarm every negative word that you have spoken. And disarm every negative word that has been spoken over you that has kept you in a trap. And we're going to do it by trusting in the eternal blood of the covenant, returning to our stronghold. So if you could just spread the communion, we're going to pray together. Just spread it out. Everybody pick it up. I believe everybody is born again. Are you born again? If you are watching me and you are not born again, just tell Jesus to come into your heart. This is part of our. It's through your words. Tell him you receive him. This is serious. I want us to. This is serious. So pick it up. Everybody open it up. Because this is an instruction from the Spirit of God that we're carrying now. He said, I want you to break the influence of negative words, living words that are over my people, over your home, hovering over your business, hovering over your marriage, hovering over it. Husbands, you need to be very careful. Everybody say, husbands, be careful. And wives also be careful. That's why you need to understand marriage. And I need to say that. I feel that somebody needs to hear it. You need to understand marriage. I would say one of the greatest help for me in understanding marriage was when I studied all the scriptures on marriage. And I also studied what is the role of a husband? And what is the authority of a husband? Now, when I say authority of a husband, I'm not talking about what is the what? What is the dominion of the husband? Or what is the, no, how much authority? Authority is attached to responsibility. Do you get it? The bigger your responsibility, the bigger your authority. Authority is what is given to you to accomplish responsibility. Do you get it? If you are the president of the United States and you have authority to be the president. If they make you the president and you don't have the authority to do it, you are a figurehead. Do you get it? So authority is attached to responsibility. If I'm the pastor of this church, I have some important responsibility regarding the sheep, but I also have commensurate authority that goes with it. Do you get it? That's how authority works. If you are the husband of a, if you are the husband in a house, you have some responsibility not to rule over everybody there, to protect everyone. Do you get it? To protect them and to protect the house. That's why God never talked to Eve when the serpent came in. He said, Adam, where are you? The state of your house is the responsibility of the man. Are you listening? So, your responsibility corresponds to your authority. But some people don't know their authority. I came across this scripture in one of those Old Testament things. Please, you got to find it for me. It said, when a woman is in the house of her father and she says a word. Ah, thank you, Brother Fred. Numbers 30. He's talking about authority. Numbers chapter 30. You know, one of the ways you can take hold of your tongue is by speaking in tongues. That's letting the Holy Ghost take over. You begin to go into places you never knew because you begin to speak things you don't know anything about. Oh man. If a man makes, are we there? Find a woman. Okay, Moses spoke to the, if a woman makes a vow, someone say makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself to some by some agreement. Binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house in her youth. And her father hears of her vow and of the agreement by which she has bound herself. And her father holds his peace. Then all her vows will stand. And every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. So, the lady is still living in her father's house, still under the authority of the father. That is why it is wrong for you. If you have not gone to meet the father of a woman, you have not gone to meet the father and ask for the hand. You have not done anything. And you are now sleeping with her. You are cursing yourself. It is called what? Usurping authority. You are planning a coup. And those who plan coups, you know what happens when they are caught? This is spiritual coup. You have no authority over that woman until the man says, I give her to you. That's why when we join people, we say, who gives this man this? No. Very soon they will start saying that. Who gives what? This woman in marriage. And the father says, I do. Okay. And then come forward. Are you getting? Until Pearl is handed over to that blessed man that we are praying for, every word I speak over her stands. Do you get it? Even if she goes to make an agreement that is contrary, if I speak a word, it dissolved. Because she's still under what? Authority. But then something changes. If her father overrules her, if you keep your peace, then it stays. But if her father overrules her, someone say overrules. On the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will release her. That's what we're doing today. Because her father did what? Overruled her. So words, she made agreement, she bound herself by a vow, but there was an overruling word, right? By somebody who is in a higher authority. Now, she takes a husband. Someone say she takes. You guys need to understand that when you join a man, you take him. Someone say you take him with his blessing and his curse, whatever. Amen. You take the man. You are taking. If you see something about the person, you are taking it. While bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips,
by which she bound herself. So she's now in the house of her husband. And her husband hears it and makes no response to her on the day that he hears. Then her vows shall stand. And her agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, he shall make void a vow which she took and what she uttered with her lips, by which she bound herself, and the Lord release her. You know, when I saw this, I didn't see it like a way to dominate over my wife. No, I don't want to do that. When I saw, I was studying on marriage, like going through all the scriptures on marriage. That's long before, 20 something years ago, before I got married. And I was studying and I came across this scripture. I said, wow, you mean that if I become a husband, I have this kind of authority? That means I can actually use words to bless my wife. I can actually use words to make sure that there are some things that doesn't take place in my wife's life. Amen? And I can use words to create, to bring things into her life. And I saw that it also extended to children and to the home. I saw the amazing authority to bless that your husband. That's why anytime my wife celebrates her birthday, she, you know what we do? She kneels down before me and I pray for her for the year. And I release the grace of God over her. Amen. I'm not doing that because I'm higher than her. She's my partner. She's my co-partner. Amen. I'm not doing that because we are co-heirs of the grace of God. I'm not higher than you in this church. We are both brothers. But when I stand in the authority of a pastor, I move to a level of responsibility which requires a higher level of authority. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get it? When President Barack Obama finishes his term and comes out, when you meet him in Hyde Park or wherever he's living now, he becomes a normal citizen like you, right? Do you get it? Say hello, say hi. But because he became president, then the Secret Service has to surround him and all that. Do you get it? Not because he's better than you, but his responsibility took him to a level of what? Higher authority. So people don't understand that. That's why they happen with this submission thing. Submission does not mean that you are not equal. Amen? Submission means that you have different responsibility as regarding the home. And those responsibilities places somebody in a place where the person needs to exercise authority. Do you get that? The worst thing that can happen to a woman is to marry a man who curses her. Now, I'm not saying that the one that says damn you and all that. I'm talking about the one that speaks negative words over her constantly. That woman can die as a result of that. That's why sometimes we have to remove some women from under the curse. Come on! You got to get out of this, the house of this man. You got to get out from under the influence and let a higher influence come. Because this thing is killing. The power is so strong that a man can tell a woman, you are not making any progress in life forever. And all he has to do is just say it once and believe it. And it's not just those who are married legally that they exchange ring. The moment you have sex with somebody, you become joined. And so the person also has authority over your body and has authority over you. That's how these spiritual things work. And we need to get it. We need to understand it. We need to understand how authority works and works. Did somebody get something here? So what we need to do is let's use it well. Come on, say, let's use it well. Let's use it well. Let's use it well. Are you ready? Pick up the communion. Can I have one? Somebody help me open one. I always have, you know, I need some help doing it. So, you see, I just caught myself. You know what I was about to say? I was going to say, I always have problem opening it. But I caught myself. Because if I say that, I'm going to always be having problem opening it. So I said, immediately I stopped myself. Be careful when you use the word always. Or never. You never hear me. You always do that. You're making it permanent. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Do you all have? Everybody must have. Please lift it up. This is symbolic of the blood of Jesus, the blood of the covenant. The Father that we're in his house now. We're in his house. And he says that if we made any vow or did anything, because we're in our Father's house, he has the right to overrule it because it's not going to be silent. Amen. So I'm standing as his representative here today and I'm going to speak some words over you. There are some people that have been stopped from getting married because of negative words. There are some who have been stopped from having good marriages. There are some who have been stopped from making progress
There are some finances that have been grounded by negative words and vows and agreements. That is wrong. Lift your hands, lift the blood. Lift up this symbol.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.